Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 7 to 11. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade them from their ways, the wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the wicked person to turn from their ways, and they do not do so, they will die for their sin, though you yourself will be saved. Son of man, say to the Israelites, this is what you are saying. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, people of Israel? This is the word of the Lord.
A reading from the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 to 14. Love fulfills God's requirements. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. This is all the more urgent for you to know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Hear what the Spirit says to the church.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Dealing with sin in the church. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church, and if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In a conference on religions, the organizer asked this question to every participant. Say in one word the teaching of your religion. Say in one word the teaching of your religion. The one who represented Christianity said, forgiveness. The core message of Christianity is forgiveness. Jesus offers forgiveness, and he is building a community which forgives one another. Now, in this passage, there are two times the word church appears. In fact, in the Gospels, there are only three times the word church appears. Whenever we hear the word church, we immediately think about a church building. But the word in Greek is ekklesia. It does not denote a physical structure. Ekklesia, church, means an assembly, a gathering. So we need to be careful when we use the word church. Church is a gathering, an assembly, the people of God who are coming together and worshiping God. Jesus is building this community of his people. And this community is a forgiven community, and this community is given the task of forgiving others. Peter very beautifully said in his epistle, he says like this, like living stones, not dead stones, like living stones, let yourselves be built into the spiritual house. So this house is built by living stones. We are the living stones. And with the living stones, God is building this community. What is the special feature of this community? I already said, yes, forgiveness. Our gospel portion begins like this. If your brother or sister sins against you, you know, the question comes, will brother sin against us? That is possible. Brothers and sisters can sin against you. They do sin. Jesus, in this passage, teaches us how to deal with such a situation. What we should do when a sister or a brother sin against us, should we brush it under the carpet, or should we ignore it, or should we say that it happens, it's okay? Should we do that? No. Jesus clearly says that confront the person, go and talk with the person. Don't ignore it, because the person has to be restored. So this passage, basically Jesus is talking about how to restore a person. But then forgiveness, the message is very much in line with this topic. Now, there are three things that I want to bring in this short meditation. Number one, confront lovingly. Three steps to restore the person. First, talk to him privately. Let us not make it known to others. Take the person alone and talk. Confront lovingly. Not to be said to others, but to confront privately, lovingly. We all need to memorize this short Bible verse, which is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. We can always memorize this. What Jesus is teaching us, which Paul picked up, is that truth and love should go together. Truth and love cannot be separated in our action. Truth without love and truth without love and love without truth, both are dangerous. So speak the truth in love. Imagine you are a doctor and you discovered a serious illness in your patient. You have two options. You can speak the truth without love, or you can love the person without truth. What are those two options? Speak the truth without love means like this. I have seen your report. You have serious problem. You are going to die in next 3 months. That's speak the truth without love. Love without truth. That's another option is, don't worry, nothing is going to happen. You will live forever. That's another way of saying. But speak the truth in love means sitting with the person and talk to him and say, look, I am going to talk to you something which is difficult. The report is not good. But do not worry. Treatment is possible. Let us work this together. Let us walk through this together. That is speaking truth in love. Now, we have many examples in the Bible how people confronted when people sinned. Best example is Nathan. When he confronted David, he confronted David very beautifully. We know the story. David sinned against Bathsheba. He killed her husband Uriah. But Nathan goes to him with a story and he confronts him lovingly, and David repented. We have many such stories. Joseph, when he reconciled with his friend, with his brothers, he dealt with it lovingly. So the first point that I want to make is, yes, we need to confront. We cannot simply ignore it. If we ignore it, then restoration is not possible. You have to confront, but confront lovingly. Now, we move to the next point. The next point that I want to say is, forgive endlessly. That's a bit of a difficult one. Let's discuss that. Jesus said, first you take the person privately and talk. If he doesn't listen to, then bring 2-3 witnesses and talk to him. Even if he doesn't listen to that, bring it to the church. When he talks about church, I don't know whether to bring the church leadership or to the community. We don't know. Scholars are still debating on that. But bring it to the church. Make it a little more wider so that others can also work with you in restoring the person. That's what all it is. If all three options do not bring result, then let that person be a Gentile and a tax collector. Let that person be to you a Gentile and a tax collector. This is where we have an issue. Scholars agree that this is a very difficult passage to interpret. After looking at some of these writings, Jesus is certainly not saying that that person should be excommunicated. Jesus is not saying that that person is unforgiven. Jesus is not saying that that person should be rejected. He is certainly not saying that. How will we know that? How did Jesus treat with the Gentile and tax collectors? He sat with them. He talked to them. He ate with them. He rejected them none. He is now giving them opportunity so that they will come back. Your initiative has not yielded the result. It doesn't mean that you have closed the door for him. You are still going to work with him. This is a forgiving community. We cannot close the door for anyone. And we are going to embrace people. Yes, you have tried to restore the person, but the person has not responded to you, but you keep working on that person. Now, forgiveness is a very difficult one to do. Forgiveness doesn't come naturally. Forgiveness involves sacrifice. Forgiveness involves sacrifice. Now, that person has not restored. It doesn't mean that I should not forgive him. I will forgive him. But the person is yet to be restored. I will watch for that time. Let's now talk about why forgiveness is difficult. We know that Jesus brought forgiveness to us by giving his life on the cross. Many new songs, Christian songs, are being composed. And when you see these songs, you need to be careful about those wordings. Are they presenting biblical truth? One of the famous songs that Tamil Christians sing is having some problem. The song goes like this: it is too easy for the Lord to do anything. It is too easy for the Lord to do anything. He created the world within no time. He created human beings without any hard work. He just said, and it happened. And that song goes like this: and he transforms people within no time. The song goes like that. Is this the way forgiveness brought to us? No, not at all. Forgiveness brought to us by a huge sacrifice. It costs Jesus' life. You know, we need to be focusing on the cross very strongly. We don't focus on the cross that much. He was beaten. He was broken. He suffered. And nails were pierced into his body. And crown of thorns pierced his brow. And he allowed his flesh to be pierced. He allowed his blood to be shed. And he carried the sin of the world on himself and died for us and rose again. And through that sacrifice, he brought the forgiveness to all of us. And that forgiveness cannot be taken lightly. God's one mission is to forgive and to embrace us. That's how we see God right from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, when God revealed himself to Moses, he said that the Lord, a God of merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, yet forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. God's character is to forgive, and that's how we see God forgiving throughout the Old Testament. And in Jesus, he brought the forgiveness, and that came to us with a price. We cannot take it lightly. And now he says, I have forgiven you. You go and forgive others. I have forgiven you, you go and forgive others. This forgiveness that Jesus gives us comes with a condition. What is that condition? We all know it. The condition is, forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. If we forgive others, then our sins are forgiven. So it comes with a condition. Are we forgiving others so that we can be forgiven? Forgiving is not easy, and that's the reason this Holy Communion is instituted, because by receiving Jesus through the Holy Communion, we get that strength to forgive. Because we are weak and fragile, and when we come to Him, we receive Him, with His help, we are able to forgive. Next Sunday when we come, we are still going to talk about forgiveness, and that's where the disciple asked this question: should I forgive only 7 times? Is that enough? Jesus said 70 times, innumerable times. What Jesus is saying there is, forgiving is not a mental exercise. When it comes to mental exercise, you add number, you remember. That's a mental exercise. Forgiveness is a heart exercise. Develop a heart of forgiving. Forgive endlessly. Keep forgiving. So I first said, confront lovingly. And secondly, forgive endlessly. You need the help, and God is willing to give us the help. Then finally, reconcile intentionally. Now I use the word reconcile. I have been talking about forgiveness. Now I have come up with another word, reconcile. Forgiveness and reconcile, both are two different words, but both are related to one another. Forgiveness is the first step which leads to reconciliation. Forgiveness is like the door, like the entrance. When you come to that entrance, when you forgive, then you enter into reconciliation, the new relationship, the new beginning, the new fellowship, the new creation starts. So forgiveness is the first step that leads to reconciliation, the new relationship builds. In this context, Jesus said a very beautiful words which we often use, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. We use this promise for everything. We say that husband and wife and children, so two and their children, when they come together, pray together, God is present in their family, which is a good interpretation. I like that. That's the reason I ask this question: do you have a family prayer? Do you come together as husband and wife and children and pray together? God is present with you. But in this context, when we look at this promise, God is saying something else. Where two or three are gathered in my name, in His name, when we are gathered, His work is among us. What is His work? He is forgiving us. When we are gathered in His name, we are forgiven. And then we exercise that forgiveness with one another. When that happens, God is pleased to dwell among us. That's another interpretation, where two or three gathered in my name, I am there in your presence. I am there in your midst. Now, we think that when we invoke the name of God, God is present there. That's a bit of a question. If our group is an unforgiving group, if our group is a fighting group, do we expect God to be present in our midst? In India, we have many, many denominations. Two denominations are prominent. Even Marthama, I can add, Orthodox, I can add, but I'm closely associated with two different denominations. One is Church of North India, which we call it CNI. Another is Church of South India, which we say Church CSI. So CSI, CNI. The Pentecostal people always criticize CNI and CSI. I was ordained in CNI, so I shouldn't be criticizing. And they say that, is God there in your church? Because in Church of North India, they go for court fights. The bishops are going to courts very often to fight the case. So the Pentecostals look at us and say that, yes, it is called CNI, but Christ not inside. When it comes to CSI people are too busy. They are too busy in building projects. They have got enough money in their hands. They are too busy with many activities, and they criticize, saying that Christ sleeps inside. Now, the point is, yes, we invoke the name of God. Yes, we come and say God is with us. But the question is God dwelling among us? That's the question. We gather in his name. That means his forgiveness is offered. Have we received his forgiveness? We gathered in his name. That means he is saying that forgive one another. If that is practiced, God is dwelling with us comfortably. Now, in our communion service, we have peace coming in the middle of the liturgy. Why we have the peace before we move to the table? It is all because we reconcile with one another. We forgive one another. And that gives us peace. That gives us confidence to come and receive the Holy Communion. We forgive one another. We embrace one another. And because Jesus has forgiven us, that gives us peace. So with that peace, we come and receive the Holy Communion. When we receive the Holy Communion, when the bread is broken, Jesus' presence is realized. What a beauty in which this is instituted. And that's the way this communion service is also organized. Now, at the end, I simply say this: confront lovingly. No one is free from sin. We need to restore people. Confront lovingly, but forgive them endlessly. And thirdly, this reconciliation is to be done intently. May the Lord bless us with the forgiving and reconciled community. God bless us all. Amen.